I'm a compulsive overeater, a 100 pounder, and my name just happens to be Rob, no different than any one of you. Today is a great day to be abstinent. Today is a great day to be a member of a fellowship called Overeaters Anonymous. What you're about to hear are my opinions only, just one suffering member talking directly to what, 2,000, 3,000 of my friends. I want to thank PJ for asking me to speak today. And when I totally botch this up, as I've been known to do, you know who to blame. No, thank you, PJ, for allowing me to participate in my own recovery. I appreciate you. Just a quick qualification. I was born in a home for unwed mothers and Catholic unwed mothers, and my birth mother gave me up for adoption. It was the best she could do. The lady who received me saw me as a gift. She was unable to have her own children. And for her, she wanted kids, and here I was. To her, food was comfort, medicine, love, friend. There was food involved in everything we did. Big Italian-Irish family, food was present at birthdays, holidays, funerals. Food was also rewards. Food was, did you have a bad day? Have this, have that. And it worked. It worked for a while, until it didn't, as it does with many of us. And then we'll get into what I hope to bring you today. Over my career of compulsive eating, I've lost and gained well over 1,000 pounds. This last time is 165 pounds. Higher power has a sense of humor. I've released 165 and I weigh 165. So in essence, I'm half the man I used to be, and it's thanks to this program. All right, so that out of the way, I thought we'd talk about, I understand this is a big book study meeting, and I've heard of the big book. There's these things in the ninth step called the ninth step promises, and apparently there's 12 of them. And what they represent for me is hope. Is when I came in originally, and oh, by the way, that night I was broken. I was at the end of my rope. I was killing myself through excess food. You were the last house in the block. And a lady met me at the door that night as I crawled by, and she said, "Are you new?" And I said, "Yeah." She says, "Great, you're in the right place. We have a seat for you." I thought, well, that's nice. Since I'm here, it'd be nice to sit down. And as I crawled by, she said, "This is a reading." And it was a laminated piece of paper, looked like it had been there forever. She said, "We'll call on you in the meeting to read that. Can you do that for us?" I said, "I can't read. I'm new. I can't read. I'm new." Right? Man, I had taken broadcasting and journalism, high school, college, debate teams. Suddenly, I'm unable to read. But that's what I said, and I didn't even think about it. She hugged me. I shivered through my entire body because I did not feel worthy of that hug. I wasn't part of, I wasn't enough, I didn't know you yet. And here's what she said. She said, "We will love you until you can love yourself." I was ready to leave. I thought, who is this maniac? What is this kind of cult I've got? When are they going to sell me the platinum package? There's a sales guy. I just know there is, and she's the warm-up, right? But higher power flicked me in the back of the head, as he's been known to do, and I sat down and I listened to you. I heard my story, and I heard the language of the heart, that I've heard about and learned about and experienced. And that night, all I did when I went home, I didn't sleep, is thought about that warm welcome, your stories, and how maybe I was part of something after all. Maybe I was enough. And I decided to come back. And then I hear people say, "Keep coming back." I thought, okay, that sounds good. That was January 4th, 1992. It's about 11,750 days ago, one day at a time. And I'm grateful for that lady, and service is my small way to try to pay her back. I can't find her, but hearing the message, step 12, is what I try to do. All right, here we go with the promises. The first, oh, by the way, I was told there's 147 promises in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you can find the 148th, my number's on the screen. Let me know where it is, because I want to find it. I got to find all of them. Anyway, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. Painstaking. That word at first put me off. It just meant thorough. That's all. That's fine. Halfway through, I don't know. Normies would call it 32 years, some odd months, so many days, but I do it one day at a time because if I don't, my head will tell me I've graduated. My head will tell me I'm cured. My disease, my lower power will go, you could go eat like a gentleman. It'll be fine now. You've learned. You've gone to enough of these classes, right? You're going to be okay. Amazed before we're halfway through. I don't know if I'm halfway through. I know they're talking about the ninth step, the amends. I look at these 12 promises of the ninth step as hope, and I think they apply to all of us. And if we work a program, they seem to come true, as they'll say it. We'll read about it at the bottom. But amazed from crawling on the floor and not enough to living a life beyond my wildest dreams. I think I'm pretty darn amazed. I think I'm pretty darn amazed. People told me, oh, it gets better. I thought, I can't possibly get better than this. What do those long timers know? 40 years of recovery. Bah. Me with my month or so when I first was introduced with the promises. I know. All right, two. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. A new freedom. For me, today I have this thing called food neutrality. I was blessed with it a while back. And I didn't even realize it at first. It wasn't something where there was this awakening and I went, wow, it just seemed to appear. And I realized it, food no longer called me like it used to. That box that kept things cold was no longer the tractor beam to, a place I don't want to be. There's a light in that cold box. There is. You open the door, a light comes on, but I learned that that light's not my higher power. That light was my lower power. That light was a tractor beam to my disease. That light wants to kill me. And if it can't kill me, it will have me filled with anger, resentment, separated from my fellows, separated from my higher power, not living the life I was intended to live. And in my case, killing myself with excess food. At the bottom, and thank God for bottoms, because people that don't hit them in this thing die, which I could have. I woke up one time with a CPAP mask on my face and a mouthful of binge food, and I could have died. Well, okay, higher power had a different thing, but a new freedom. The freedom from compulsively eating, the freedom from thinking about it constantly. I challenged myself to gain 30 pounds in 30 days at the end, and I was successful. I was like the character in Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan, where the hurricane came through, everything's destroyed, and I'm like, is that all you got, disease? Let's do this again. I can gain another 30 pounds. Higher power put the brakes on, and I found that first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous that night. New freedom, freedom from craving and obsession, and a new happiness. I have time for so many other things. I haven't watched TV in years. I would eat mindlessly in front of that thing. Look down and say, where did all that go? I'm the only one there. I'm the only one there. I would stop at bowl, cup, plate, bag. That's when I would stop and I would go get another one. There was no off switch. No off switch at all. Number three, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. This is a big one for me because I used to like to live in the past. I was taught to give up all hope in that area, all hope of a better past. It's written. If I live in the past, I'm in depression. If I live in the future, I might be prone to anxiety. If I live in the present, one day at a time, that's my abstinence today, mindful and present. If I live in the present, one day at a time, I seem to be able to at least try to recover. You know, I'm not recovered, I'm recovering. And for me, there's a difference. It's my lower power, my disease is waiting for me to feel I'm recovered, past tense. Graduation day is when I leave the earth. I'll be cured that day. But until then, you're going to see my face around this fellowship. I had child abuse in my background. Anybody that's experienced that, I'm sorry. What the steps did for me is allowed me to move from victim of child abuse to survivor of child abuse. The four-step inventory showed me that my part was carrying that around as an adult. What that allowed me to do is see that person in a whole different light. They were sick too. They did the best they could. This person just happened to have a neurological disorder called Huntington's disease that affected their decision making. You know, I didn't see that as a kid. Sure, maybe there should have been people that helped me, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but didn't. And it was bad. And that's all I'll say. But I was able to tell that person before they passed away that I loved them and that they did the best they could. That is not possible without this program. It just wasn't. I was angry. I was full of resentment. I played football to hurt people, not enjoy the game. I wanted to get even to somebody. Maybe I'll find all of them and do a ninth step. I don't know. That moves us on to number four. We'll comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Well, I'm working on that. I work on my emotional, physical, and spiritual sobriety and that serenity. For me, it's a three-legged stool, and if any of those get out of whack, I'm in trouble. So I got to keep leveling things off so I stay level. Serenity is a goal for me. I have trouble with emotional sobriety from time to time, I'll admit it. But I have the tools of the program. I have outreach. I have a sponsor that I can call, you know? And I do want peace. I just wanted that stuff to stop. I didn't come here to lose weight. I came here to just get this stuff to stop, the yo-yoing, the negative self-talk. You're a loser. You can't stick to anything. You said it would be different this time. Why can't you just stop? Why can't you just put down the fork? Why does this go on and on and on? With or without a solemn oath? Man, knowing full well tomorrow's going to be just like today, which was just like yesterday. Forever. A very dark place with no windows and no doors that I built brick by brick until I found you guys. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. Here we go. They're not talking about that thing you stand on. You know, I've let that go. That no longer defines me. There's these numbers on this thing that you stand on. That's not the scale they're talking about. They're talking about the disease. Let's see. I was killing myself on purpose with food, daring it to take me. I'd say that's pretty far down. Without the gift of desperation, without willingness, without acceptance, I wouldn't be here. There is no doubt I would be dead today, the way I was going if I kept it up. No doubt at all. Multiple blood pressure medication, joint replacement from damage, did the Louvre in a wheelchair because I didn't want to walk it, pain medication, CPAP for severe sleep apnea. Doctors going, dude, you can't do this. You can't keep going. Being a victim, nothing was my fault. It was always somebody else's fault, you know? Man, if you had these experiences, you'd eat like this too. Well, I wore my disease on the outside. Some addictions you can kind of hide for a while, not mine. It was out there for everybody to see. It really was. And at the end, I didn't care anymore. I didn't care. I was going to eat what I wanted, when I wanted, how much I wanted, no matter who's looking, so what? Screw them, feed me, right? That's the way it was. Our experience can benefit others. If I can come into a meeting and talk about moving from a victim to a survivor of child abuse in a bad time of my life, that said, because if I was bigger than you couldn't hurt me. When I lost weight, a lot of weight, the first time outside a program, I didn't feel like I could defend myself. I didn't feel masculine. I felt vulnerable, like these people or things were coming to get me. When I lost weight in program, I was worried about it. And this time it's more than ever, you know, 165 pounds. I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way at all. And we'll get to that. That's a later promise. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. I had no value and no purpose when I came in. I didn't have anything to offer anybody. That was part of it. I just didn't feel enough, wasn't part of, didn't fit in, was different than my fellows. The teasing, the name calling growing up. You know, that was like a roaring jet engine constantly telling me that I didn't fit in, wasn't enough, you didn't love me. I could tell you what you were thinking. I had amazing ability to tell what other people. Those people weren't looking at me and thinking about me. They were thinking about their own problems. But no, my lower power told me it's me. It's me. Yeah. Lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Service. Service has absolutely saved my life from that first commitment as a chip guy, handing out chips. Thank God for the person that volunteered me. I didn't volunteer. I didn't raise my hand for service that first time. Someone behind me said, "Rob will do it." And I looked around the room thinking, there's got to be another Rob here. There's got to be. I realized, nope, it's me. And in my head is no effing way. But my head's a little more vile than that. It's pretty bad, the self-talk and the negativity. What came out of my mouth, and this is higher power, I would be glad to. I would be glad to. When my family heard that, they said, "Don't you hug people when you're a chip person?" Dad wasn't a hugger, you know, that lady at that first meeting. I mean, you know. But that was a springboard. That was a springboard to get outside of myself, and I was taught to keep it, I have to give it away. It's my way to thank that lady at the door that night.
3 minutes.
Thank you so much. I think we'll make it. I'll speed up. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life, my attitude and outlook was bad. It was over. I had nothing. But it's pretty good now. I've been blessed beyond my and what I deserve. I absolutely, higher power is taking care of me. All I had to do is ask higher power to come in and take over and give up control. Huh, who knew? Fear of people, economic insecurity will leave us. I talked about that. I don't have fear today of other people. I don't need to be big. See, you won't hurt me. I don't need that anymore. Higher power gives me enough. You know, not too much, not too little, just enough. I'm taken care of. That's one of the ways higher power talks to me. I don't fear economic insecurity today. Intuitively know how to handle situations with used to baffle us. Absolutely. I had no clue in a lot of situations. My answer was food. That was my solution. I don't have to do that anymore. And the last one, 12, we'll suddenly realize that God's doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Constantly. My best thinking got me here. You know, I was an engineer. I was supposed to have all the answers. And I have a disconnect where food is concerned. I can't follow a logical sequence of events. When I'm face down in the food and this disease, all I want is more. My disease is one of more, and more was never enough. I kept trying to stuff things in to fill up this hole that I found I had. You might be different, but that was my story. That compulsive bite, that first compulsive bite fixes nothing. It changes nothing. It leads me down a path I no longer want to tread. Am I eligible to tread that path today? You betcha. You betcha. If I don't go to meetings, if I don't do
Minutes.
service, thank you. Okay, what it says at the bottom are these extravagant promises we think not. They're being filled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Always materialize. If you think about it, that's another promise. That's 13. It tells us to work. Newcomers, you're in the right place. We will love you till you can love yourself. Not newcomers, returning members. We're glad you're here. You know, we know you because we are you. And we have a seat for you. And welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. I'm Rob. I'm a compulsive eater, 100 pounder. Thank you for listening today.